chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. First John chapter 5, verse 4. What do we got here? We got 1 Peter, 2 Peter, and then 1 John, right toward the back there. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 reads, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" We looked last week and we said a victim is a person harmed or injured or killed as a result of a crime, accident, or other event. Victimhood is a state of being a victim. Victimhood is we make an identity of all the things that have gone wrong with us, of all the problems we have in our life. And so when somebody looks at Joe Schmo, they say, "Oh yeah, he's got this going on in his life, he's got that going, and he's got bald tires, he's the one that went off on the side of the road and had to walk home." And a victim, we identify a victim with what was gone wrong in their lives. And the victim identifies himself as what has gone wrong in my life. Now, victory is an act of defeating an enemy or opponent in a battle game or other competition. And last week we looked at the promise of victory. God promises us victory, but at the same time in His Word of God, He promises us trouble in our lives. Once we get saved, it's not just a bowl of cherries or a walk in the park. We still have problems. We still have troubles. And sometimes those problems or relationships are probably have more so than before we were saved. God tells us that. He says, you will have tribulation in your life. And He also has promise of help in this life. He says He sends the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that dwells inside us, and He'll comfort us like nobody else can in times of trouble. We also saw how the Word of God gives us promise of victory in our life. We just read it, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have faith in Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. We have faith in Jesus Christ to give us eternal life. We have faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to give us the Word of God, which is absolute truth. Then why in the world would we not put our faith in Jesus Christ to give us victory over the world? The next couple of weeks, we'll look at principles finding victory and then preparation for victory. Now this, in case you wrote it down last week, this was supposed to be people with victory. And this week, and it's not, that's not the title of it anymore. I changed the title. I was looking at people finding victory, and then all of a sudden I found patterns. Patterns. It was the oddest thing. I'm looking at these people that trusted God and did, and I looked at victims, and there's a definite pattern that we'll see today in people's lives, whether they live a life as a victim or as a victor. That we might, at the end of this sermon, we might say, "Nay, like Paul says, nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." And we'll look at those patterns today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for dying for us. We thank You for shedding Your blood for us on the cross, walking up that hill to that cross, knowing what Your fate was going to be, and You did it for us and placed the burden of the whole world's sin on Your shoulders. We thank You, Jesus. Dear God, I pray if there's someone here who does not know for certain that heaven is their home, maybe today they'll come forward and ask and inquire, how can I know that I'm going to go to heaven when I die? Also pray for those of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, but we haven't got the victory. We've got troubles in our lives. We just can't seem to get over the hill, Lord. And I pray that we find victory and we look at these patterns, that we come to you this morning, Lord, cry out to you and reach out to you and put our faith in you that we might have the victory. We thank you, Jesus. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. If you would please first turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at an individual here who's a man of God. Revered for centuries by the Israelites. 1 Kings chapter 19. And yet, this man showed himself as a victim. 1 Kings chapter 19. First Kings chapter 19, verse 9. And he came hither, speaking of Elijah. Elijah came hither unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord of the hosts and for the children of Israel, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Elijah had predicted drought in 1 Kings chapter 17. God fed Elijah by the ravens and gave Elijah water by the brook to drink. God provided for Elijah. We see in Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17, that Elijah, during the famine, went to a widow with a son that was going to die. He said, no, take that oil, put it in a cruse. And then we see where the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. God did many wonderful things and wonderful works through Elijah, his prophet. We see then later the child died, and Elijah stretched himself three times on the child. And Elijah cried unto the Lord, his God, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let the child's soul come back to him. And the child revived. This is that same man, Elijah. We see later on Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, the big showdown in Mount Carmel with the 450 prophets of Baal. And he says, if your God be true, or the God of Israel be true, we'll see. And they put the sacrifices on the altar, and they prayed to their false gods, and nothing happened. And with a spoken word, Elijah said, God, show them that you're the God of Israel. Show them that you're the creator of heaven and earth. Show them that you're Almighty God, the only God. And fire come down from heaven and devoured and consumed the sacrifice, even though it was wetted down with water. Elijah saw and did and was involved with all this. And then he slew the 450 prophets of Baal. It says in 1 Kings he prays for rain in 1 Kings chapter 18. In James chapter 5, it talks about how long that drought was. 3.5 years, and Elijah prayed for rain. And guess what? There's a little wisp of a cloud way over there. He says, what does it look like? Well, now it's going to be a cloud, his servant says. And he says, what does it look like now? And all of a sudden, rain broke forth. Look at verse 9, if you would. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, what doest here, thou Elijah? Well, he knows what Elijah's doing. He's feeling sorry for himself. He is playing the victim card. Everything happens to me because, first of all, he forgot what the Lord God had done in his life. And he's complaining to God. We'll see in this pattern of victims, complaining is first and foremost. Complaining about your family. Complaining about your co-workers. Complaining about the neighbor. Complaining. We'll see that this is the manifestation of the victim card is complaining. And we'll see the pattern here. Not only did Elijah forget what the Lord had done, but he got his eyes on others as a victim. He's looking at the other people. And he might be sort of, he says, they've forsaken the Lord. Not only did he put his eyes on others, but he put his, as a victim, he put his eyes on himself. Look at me. I'm the only one left. Pride, arrogance. I've been very jealous for the Lord. Look what I've done for you. And I'm the only one left. And then in chapter 19, verse 18, look at verse 18. God says to Elijah, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel. And you say you're the only one left. Well, Elijah got his eyes off of God. He got his eyes onto self, and he got his eyes looking at others. Verse 11. And he said, God said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. And the Lord was not in the earthquake. But after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entering of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? God was in a still small voice, and that's a whole sermon in itself. But what did Elijah have to do to hear God? He had to go forth. We'll see that that's another pattern in gaining the victory, is going forth. Whether you be told by God or we do it on our own inclination, we've got to go forth. A victim will stay put, wallowed in problems and looking back and reminding not only oneself, but everybody else of what happened last year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ago, and not gaining the victory. God says to Elijah, get yourself out of the cave and go forth. And that's what we need to do if we're going to live a victorious life, is to go forth and bring glory unto God. We got to go out, go forth and go out to get encouraged. Go out and watch the workings of God in our lives, and go out and hear the still small voice of God. If you would please turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. We'll start at verse 8. Exodus chapter 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them. Now the high hand means they were high-fiving, more or less. Oh man, look what we done. But the Egyptians pursued after them, and the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen, his army, overtook them, encamping by the sea besides Pihahiroth. I had this figured out. I don't impie Hiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt with thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? I don't remember them saying that. Okay? But it's just like the guy who you take out hunting or something, and you get stuck on the road, and they say, oh, I told you so. What? Huh? Or I knew that was going to happen. Well, if you knew it was going to happen, then why didn't you tell me? Okay? How many know somebody like that? Yeah. I knew that was going to happen. Oh, really? Because I didn't. I mean, it's always a possibility, but I didn't know it was going to happen. But these people said, oh, we told you so, Moses. These are victims. Is this not the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, oh, you gotta love it in verse 15. The Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they, what? Go forward. First of all, we see victims here. In verse 11, the victims are complaining about, oh, we should have stayed in Egypt. Oh, I knew this was going to happen. Boo-hoo. And they get their eyes on others in verse 12. For this is not the word we tell the Egyptians, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians. They're looking at the Egyptians behind them. They've taken their eyes off of God. They put their eyes on others, and here it's on the Egyptians. And they put their eyes on themselves and their circumstances. Boo-hoo, we should have just soon died in the wilderness. We're not going to make it. They took their eyes off of God. Here they had been in Egypt, and they watched the 10 plagues. Can you imagine just the first one, the water turning into blood everywhere? Then the boils and the lice and the fire and the darkness, all in Egypt, but not in the land of Goshen. And then God tells you through Moses to take the blood and put it on your doorposts and above your doors, so that when the death angel comes, he'll pass over you. And there's crying and wailing all throughout Egypt, except in the land of Goshen. It sounds to me like they forgot what God had done for them. And then these people who hated you, and who's got the upper hand and the strength, they come and give you all their jewels and gold and silver and their earrings. It sounds like a miracle of God, but it sounds like the victims, they'd rather complain than to remember what God had done for them in the past. Now we'll look at the pattern of victory here. Moses. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. See, Moses wasn't worried about the Egyptians. He had his eyes off of others. And he had his eyes off of self in verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you. I'm not promising you anything. The Lord will fight for you. He took his eyes off of others. He took his eyes off of self. And he put his eyes on the Lord. And in verse 14, he said, see the salvation of the Lord. Then we saw where he says, go forward. God tells them to go forward. In verse 16, he says, but that lift up thy rod, God says, and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall what? Go. not sit around and wallow in the muck and mire and then complain about it. Verse 30 of chapter 14, we see how the Lord saves Israel. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses, and they'd have never gotten the victory unless Moses had taken his eyes off of himself and off of others and looked to the Lord to fight for them and looked to the Lord to save them out of the hand of the Egyptians. The Red Sea was a mere obstacle. And sometimes God uses obstacles in our lives to grow our faith. Can you imagine this Red Sea crossing Canyon Ferry? You say, I can't cross that thing. I can't swim. The little dinghy I got can't make it across. Can you imagine the water coming across like that and walking across Canyon Ferry on dry ground? No mud. Dry ground. Would that increase our faith? That obstacle would increase our faith. We have to remember there are sometimes some things in this life that we don't understand. I'm going to be doing a funeral in a couple weeks for a family that does not go to church. I would say the majority of them, if not next to all of them, are lost. But their family that has asked us to do the funeral here at Liberty Baptist Church. We've done one for them last year. And he's angry his daughter died in an automobile accident. And at least he's honest. He said, I know God loves me, but I hate him now. It broke my heart. There are obstacles that we have in our lives. And ultimately, God will use them to grow our faith. We got to hang in there. We got to trust God. He has our better interests at heart. He really does love us. God loves us, and He wants us to have victory. And He knows there's going to be hard times ahead. And He tells us He's going to help us. And He promises us victory. And there's a pattern for victory. It's basically look to God. Because there's nothing or nobody else in the world that can fix this. It's a hurting world out there. If you would turn your Bibles to I'm leaving you on the edge of your seat. Numbers chapter 13. God used the Red Sea, as we saw, as an obstacle to grow faith. And this is the same faith we're promised that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith in Jesus Christ overcomes the world. In Numbers 13 and 14, we see where God told Moses to have men spy out the promised land. They're commanded to spy, and then they get a report back of these spies. I'm getting there. They get a report back from the spies, and some of these spies are not very happy, even though they had clusters of grapes and clusters of pomegranates on their shoulder. They brought them back on sticks. Now, we know about getting the short end of a stick. How many got in the short end of the stick? Yeah. Well, where that comes from is when they're carrying these pomegranates and clusters of grape on a stick, and when we were kids, my brother had shot a bear, and there was no snow on the ground. You couldn't drag it. We wrapped it up in canvas, and guess what? We put it on a stick. Two sticks. And the four of us, my dad and his three brothers, we hiking that out to the car. And that's when I found out what it means to be on the short end of the stick, because Charlie, you know Charlie, the baby, all of a sudden, we're walking down the trail. He's about this far from the carcass. I'm on the short end of the stick. It's all, well, guess who got all the weight? Me. So they carry these pomegranates, carry these grapes back, and they're going to give a report to Moses and the people. And there's 10 spies that complain and moan and groan. And we're going to see that. We're going to see the pattern of a victim here, of all of these victims. Chapter 13, Numbers 13. Verse 27, they told him and said, we came unto the land where they sent us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. Well, God keeps his promises. It's a land of milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, Amorites, and all these otherites dwell on the mountains, and the Canaanites by the sea and the coast of Jordan. They're just starting to get the people in a lather. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses in verse 30 and says, let us go at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But here's the victims in verse 31. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which had searched the children of Israel, saying, the land, though we have gone to search it, is land that eateth up inhabitants. And all the people we... Now, when somebody says all, or never, or always, they're usually a victim. This always happens to me. Nobody ever. Those kinds of words... Where are we at here? The land, though we've seen search it, eateth. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. They must have not seen any women or children. And there we saw the giants, sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, so we were in their sight. Oh my goodness, do we see a pattern here? First of all, they complain, they murmur. And they murmur so much in verse 4 of 14, they even want to make another captain, forget Moses, and go back to Egypt. They want to go back to where they came from. They want to go back to where they were in bondage. Complain. And they wanted to bid. They wanted to stone Caleb and Joshua in verse 10. They got their eyes off on others. They said, these people in the land are stronger than we. They got their eyes on self. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And they got their eyes off the Lord. The Lord promised them the land. Now the pattern of a victor. How many want to see the pattern of a victor? A victor gets his eyes off of others. In verse 9 of chapter 14... Joshua and Caleb say, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. We need not to fear. We need to get our eyes off of others. Get our eyes off of self. In verse 8, the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land. In verse 9, the Lord is with us. And they had remembered what the Lord had done for them. All of us sitting here who can name the name of Jesus Christ as Savior, we know what the Lord has done in our lives. We know. At the very, very least, He saved a sinner such as I. He saved a vile, wicked sinner, a human being such as I, and gave me an eternal home in heaven. I know He's done that. We know He's done that. But when we have faith that He's done that, but we lose faith, and we end up being defeated and being a victim in this life. Look at verse 30. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, what? What did he say? Let us what? Go. Up at once. He was able to say this because he had faith. Faith is what enabled Caleb and Joshua finally to go into the promised land. Lack of faith is what kept the 10 spies. They were killed almost immediately. It's faith. This same faith that Caleb and Joshua had is the same faith, is the victory that overcometh the world. Faith is the victory. Like the song says, once again that overcomes the world, it's faith in Jesus Christ. Characteristics of a victim. Characteristics of a victim: complains. That's a manifestation of a victim. Complains. Never get a victory. Always, never, everyone, nobody. A victor rejoices in the miracles of God. A victor is good to get up, is glad to get up in the morning and praise God for the snow. A victor in this thing called life. A victim forgets how good God has been to us, but a victor remembers how good God's been to us. A victim puts his eyes on self. Woe is me. I can't do this. Boo-hoo. But a victor gets his eyes off self, eyes off circumstances, and a victor puts his eyes on God and says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, without hesitation. That's a victor. A victim wants to stay where he's at and not move forward, but a victor goes. Even though sometimes, and I know life is hard, but my goodness, we need to get out of the house. We need to go somewhere and be a blessing to somebody. Even though it hurts sometimes, we need to go. I went out with a gal for X number of years. I could have got married. She really, but I... Thank goodness I didn't. I go to her little basement apartment, all the curtains down, it was just dark, the lights out. What's going on? And this is the kind of person, she wanted to get married, but she wanted to change me, of course, you know. What's there to change? But she didn't like it because when she was down and out, she said, I wasn't serious enough. I was always making jokes. And it was 2 weeks later. What's going on? Well, that's the problem. I said, what's that? She said, you're too serious. Aha! It's not me. It's not me. And her identity was a victim. It took me a while to get out, you know, cut the cords or whatnot, but I'm so glad. God doesn't want us to live our life as victims. He wants us to have the victory. Put our faith in Him and have the victory. And He wants us to go forward and do great things for Him. The pattern. We're going to have an invitation here fairly quick. We've looked at the pattern for conquering life as a victor. Now, first and foremost, we need to quit complaining. If we find ourselves complaining, we've got to ask ourselves why. We've got to remember and rejoice the marvelous works of the Lord. Psalm chapter 71, verse 23 reads, my lips greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee in my soul, which thou hast redeemed. God has redeemed us. He has rescued us from loss. He has plucked us from the fires of hell because He loves us. And we need to rejoice. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. We need to get our eyes off of self and off of others, but look to Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We know where our own understanding has gotten us in this life. We need to trust the Lord. We need to go. We need to move forward. We can choose to live in a cave of despair and defeat with the curtains down and the lights off and with a desire to go back and live as a perpetual victim in this life. Or we can choose to live a life of faith. A faith in Christ. A victory. Because faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that what? Wow. Faith in Jesus Christ. Let's stand. Page 40 this morning. Walk in the Lord, in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abideth us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but He smiles, quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Burden we bear. Hey, Brother David Munson, would you close us in prayer this morning?
Dear Lord, I'm glad that you're here today. Thank you for letting us have a good message today, Lord. And please help us get to your United Church and give us a safe breath of
prayer. Amen. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.